your fault. Baby, it's not mine. Our chance, we're crossing the same roads all at one time. Even if you see it coming, no time to beg out gracefully. One thing I know for sure, be no doubt when you see you are. Grass make dab in the middle of it. Grass make dab in the middle. We are grass make dab.
Secret truth. Through forgiveness we awaken, transforming information and knowledge into wisdom. And now our co-hosts, Charlotte Littlefield and George Butler.
Welcome to The Secret Truth. I'm George Butler along with my co-host,
Charlotte Littlefield. Good evening, George.
Okay, Charlotte. Boy, this week has been the election week, hasn't it? The Tuesday election. What do you think? Man, there were record turnouts where I was voting. I voted early, and I stayed in line for an hour, and the lady behind me said that her husband stayed in that line that morning 2 hours. Did you encounter the same big turnout where you were voting?
No, I'm in a rural community, and there were plenty of voting stations open. There's a lot of people up here that volunteer their time to run elections. So there was ample, voting locations nearby each other on the different sides of the county. So I went in during the day when everybody was at work, and I had no problem. I just went in and voted, turned around, and walked out.
Oh, man, that's probably the best way to do it, isn't it, huh?
Right. I've stood in line to vote, as we all have, you know.
Well, that's
just not here, not now.
Okay, well, that's good. And were you surprised by the outcome, or did you follow it that election night very much, or what? What was your impression?
Honestly, George, for me it was surreal, because I already know how bad the news and the media is. This is not a new phenomena. We have been propagandized by the television set, by the news, that they, you know, how they frame the news, what they choose for us to watch for years, as in at least 20.
Right, right.
Probably for my whole lifetime. The television news has always been, off the cuff. So when they kept talking for a Hillary was ahead and all, you know, all the projections was, you go from one channel to the other, you know, Hillary's going to win, Hillary's going to win. But then you go online and you voice your opinion and you talk to others. And, you know, we're talking about WikiLeaks. We're talking about the crimes. We're talking about the last 20 years of the Clinton dynasty.
Exactly.
You know,
we're
digging into the past. The news was absolutely worthless in the lead up to the election. So I turned it off. And
they discredited themselves by their reporting, didn't they?
George, I turned CNN off when they go, and now that makes 9 women that have spoken out against Trump or who have been.
Oh, yeah. I got
assaulted by Trump. You know, I turned it off at that point because I was like, look, they've had 30 years to speak up, and you only spoke up after Donald Trump brought Bill Clinton's victims to the debate.
Exactly.
I didn't see any of the Clintons, the crimes, the bodies, you know, the people, gathering information and putting two and two together. This is a murderous, drug running family.
Well, it is, but the thing is that so many people are under an opposite conclusion and impression. They don't know what you and I have been on the air now a little over 10 years. We've studied this stuff intensely, and so we dig down in there and see what's going on. But it's not only on the liberal Democratic side, it's on the conservative Republican side, but because look how they slammed Trump, that insider, Republican insiders did. You know what I mean?
George, I think the last 40 years or more, it all goes back to Bush Sr.
Right.
When we first, you know, and we could trace it back in American history to the assassination of Kennedy at this point.
He was in Dallas. We know that. We have him there in Dallas. So, Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of information.
You mean that, we have the Bush group, there, right?
Yeah, the old man Bush. And the JFK group, that group that did the JFK are still in power. See, that's the problem with our politics in this country, is they've never relinquished power. And all they did was bring in cohorts and friends and elevated them in the political system as it unfolded here in this country.
And that, George, is how you end up having female Bushes voting for Clinton and male Bushes supposedly saying they left the spot blank.
Yeah, right.
Okay.
I mean,
this is the end of a dynasty that was rotten to its core.
Right.
And this is a real new, fresh opportunity for the American people. But that night, you asked me the question, what did I do election night? I turned the television off. I watched documentaries about things not related. And I got the news in the morning from a text from my daughter that Trump had won.
Right. Well,
and so I got the news the best way I could.
Right. Well, that's good. What I had to see that night, I watched the reports as they came in. And I believe I watched CNN. They had the best analyst up there on those big screens that you could ever imagine analyzing it. But they started holding back boxes that they wanted to run in at the end and knock Trump out of the election. And I started watching that very carefully in Florida and other states where you could see them holding back democratically dominated boxes, see. And that, but what happened was that Trump got so far out ahead of them overall in some of those states where they didn't have the votes available in some of those boxes in the end to run them in and fix the election. So that voted well for Trump, but it wasn't that close really, but she had a ground game that was playing every angle that they could, and it was closely. She didn't get to cheat him out of it, but it might have happened. And now we have all this violence out there, see, and we've got Alinsky dynamics. But anyway, I was going to play her concession. What's that? Go ahead.
Well, you talked about the violence. So I'm not aware of any violence going on in America, except for I saw a video of a man that had a bumper sticker that said Trump, and a bunch of black men, it appeared. I was far away. I couldn't say. They all looked like grown people to me.
Yeah.
They were beating this white man, just like at the in the 80s when they had that. What was that man that was beaten in the intersection?
Oh, yeah, that trucker. Trucker, yeah, I remember that.
Yeah.
But that was similar. They stole his car, too. Yeah.
It brought that back to me right that minute, And
In Portland, Oregon, they've had riots out there. In fact, last night, Clyde Lewis on his program, Ground Zero, there were three flash bang grenades that went outside their studio, went off while he was on the air. And he got a little apprehensive. I listened to up until about 30 minutes before he went off the air. But the night before that, they couldn't get out of their studio because the crowds were so raucous outside their studio up there in the Portland area. They're on the edge of Portland.
Democrats' children?
This is a talk show host. Clyde Lewis has about 400 stations nationwide, and he broadcasts out of Portland, Oregon area. And he was relating his experience last night on his radio program. We carry him here for 3 hours every Saturday night. Well, during the weeknight, Monday through Friday, from 9 to midnight here in Austin, Texas. But anyway, he related his experiences, and his experiences were not very good up there because what happened was the night before, not Friday night, but Thursday night, the riot started up there even before that. Right after the election, and they were still going on in the Portland area, and the Portland police had to reclassify it from a activist rally to a riot status. Okay, it's already burning police cars, stuff like that up there. So anyway, these three flashbang grenades went off outside his studio last night, and he was relaying that to his listeners, and I was one of his listeners here in Austin. I've listened to him over the years, see what I mean? And so I know pretty well where he's coming from, and I've been on the air with him you know, as now, a call
in
team.
Who are the people in the streets doing this? Are
well,
they
well,
are they Democrats' children? Who are they?
No, what they are is that they've hired some people just like they did before to go in and protest at the Trump rallies. And, you know what I mean? I think that one black group is very prominent there also. And so forth. And then they've joined in by, they pull in some very well-intentioned people. But in a mob, mobs don't have, you can hide your actions inside of a mob. And that's what's dangerous about mobs, see? They can easily turn into a riotous group, see what I mean? So, Black Lives Matter, I think, was one of the leading groups up there. And then they were joined in by other people that are not maybe members of Black Lives Matter, but just liberals, Democrats that were, they cried, Charlotte. Some of these people were so upset about Trump winning the race, they were crying. And in fact, when she made her concession speech inside up in New York the following morning, it was Wednesday morning, and we're going to play that concession speech and then make some comments on how she related to her followers or close supporters inside or staff and so forth in there. And so that's what I was going to set up here in just a second. So any questions or anything else, brief comments before I play her concession speech? Charlotte?
No, let's listen to it.
Okay, I'll get it going in just a second. Here we go.
Thank you so very much for being here. And I love you all, too. Last night, I congratulated Donald Trump and offered to work with him on behalf of our country. I hope that he will be a successful president for all Americans. This is not the outcome we wanted or we worked so hard for, and I'm sorry that we did not win this election for the values we share and the vision we hold for our country. But I feel pride and gratitude for this wonderful campaign that we built together, this vast, diverse, creative, unruly, energized campaign. You represent the best of America, and being your candidate has been one of the greatest honors of my life. I know how disappointed you feel because I feel it too. And so do tens of millions of Americans who invested their hopes and dreams in this effort. This is painful, and it will be for a long time. But I want you to remember this. Our campaign was never about one person or even one election. It was about the country we love and about building an America that's hopeful, inclusive, and big-hearted. We have seen that our nation is more deeply divided than we thought. But I still believe in America, and I always will. And if you do, then we must accept this result and then look to the future. Donald Trump is going to be our president. We owe him an open mind and the chance to lead. Our constitutional democracy enshrines the peaceful transfer of power. And we don't just respect that, we cherish it. It also enshrines other things: the rule of law, the principle that we are all equal in rights and dignity, freedom of worship and expression. We respect and cherish these values too, and we must defend them. Now, and let me add, our constitutional democracy demands our participation, not just every 4 years, but all the time. So let's do all we can to keep advancing the causes and values we all hold dear, making our economy work for everyone, not just those at the top, protecting our country and protecting our planet, and breaking down all the barriers that hold any American back from achieving their dreams. We've spent a year and a half bringing together millions of people from every corner of our country to say with one voice that we believe that the American dream is big enough for everyone, for people of all races and religions, for men and women, for immigrants, for LGBT people, and people with disabilities, for everyone. So now, our responsibility as citizens is to keep doing our part to build that better, stronger, fairer America we seek. And I know you will. I am so grateful to stand with all of you. I want to thank Tim Kaine and Ann Holton for being our partners on this journey. It has been a joy getting to know them better, and it gives me great hope and comfort to know that Tim will remain on the front lines of our democracy representing Virginia in the Senate. To Barack and Michelle Obama, our country owes you an enormous debt of gratitude. We thank you for your graceful, determined leadership that has meant so much to so many Americans and people across the world. And to Bill and Chelsea, Mark, Charlotte, Aiden, our brothers and our entire family, my love for you means more than I can ever express. You crisscrossed this country on our behalf and lifted me up when I needed it most, even four-month-old Aiden, who traveled with his mom. I will always be grateful to the creative, talented, dedicated men and women at our headquarters in Brooklyn and across our country. You poured your hearts into this campaign. For some of you who are veterans, it was a campaign after you had done other campaigns. Some of you, it was your first campaign. I want each of you to know that you were the best campaign anybody could have ever expected or wanted. And to the millions of volunteers, community leaders, activists, and union organizers who knocked on doors, talked to neighbors, posted on Facebook, even in secret private Facebook sites. I want everybody coming out from behind that and make sure your voices are heard going forward. To everyone who sent in contributions as small as $5 and kept us going, thank you. Thank you from all of us. And to the young people in particular, I hope you will hear this. I have, as Tim said, spent my entire adult life fighting for what I believe in. I've had successes and I've had setbacks, sometimes really painful ones. Many of you are at the beginning of your professional, public, and political careers. You will have successes and setbacks, too. This loss hurts, but please never stop believing that fighting for what's right is worth it. Keep up these fights now and for the rest of your lives. And to all the women, and especially the young women, who put their faith in this campaign and in me, I want you to know that nothing has made me prouder than to be your champion. Still not shattered that highest and hardest glass ceiling, but someday someone will, and hopefully sooner than we might think right now. And to all the little girls who are watching this, never doubt that you are valuable and powerful and deserving of every chance and opportunity in the world to pursue and achieve your own dreams. Finally, I am so grateful for our country and for all it has given to me. I count my blessings every single day that I am an American. And I still believe, as deeply as I ever have, that if we stand together and work together with respect for our differences, strength in our convictions, and love for this nation, our best days are still ahead of us. Because you know, I believe we are stronger together and we will go forward together. And you should never, ever regret fighting for that. You know, Scripture tells us, let us not grow weary in doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. So, my friends, let us have faith in each other. Let us not grow weary. Let us not lose heart. For there are more seasons to come, and there is more work to do. I am incredibly honored and grateful to have had this chance to represent all of you in this consequential election. May God bless you, and may God bless the United States of America.
Charlotte, what do you think about that, huh? Charlotte?
Yeah, George, I'm right here. Sorry about that. I had the mute on, so I couldn't make any.
What do you think about that? She said the word constitutional democracy twice, left out republic totally, said that twice. What do you think? What are your impressions?
Well, I thought that was a failure on her part, because I know we are a constitutional republic with a representative government that is chosen and elected through democracy or democratic practice.
Process.
This whole idea, because democracy is a it's a buzzword, let's face it, and it's a historical short circuit to say something is a constitutional democracy. You're leaving out too much of the fundamentals. People, you know, in their understanding of the world in which they exist. I mean, the Electoral College does not make sense if you're in a constitutional democracy. You know, if you're in a constitutional republic with a representative government that you vote into power through democracy, then you have what we have as our form of government. So I thought that was a cheap shot.
Yeah, the our guest last week, you know, Tara Ross, made a point that the electoral system, college system, was set up to protect the rural areas against the highly populated city centers. See, and that's what it did on this election. This was a prime example of that, protecting the rural vote against the concentrated big city vote. You know. And it did work for Trump, but
you know, they're saying now that he won the popular vote as well. So.
Well, yeah, what they were trying to do, and what you could infer from her statements of constitutional democracy early on, a day or so ago, before perhaps more of the vote was counted, they were pushing her call through the Electoral College because of a majority of votes, see? You know what I mean? Like a tyranny of the majority, see?
So they recounted.
I went in and double-checked some of this today. We still don't have a final count on this. See what I mean? And there are some states that are still not in yet. See what I mean? I think Michigan and New Hampshire. I think Arizona came in, but no one that's writing articles, whether they're AP or whatever, is stating that there is a final accounting here, okay? So some of this is still up in the air. I think it's getting to where he's too far ahead, maybe, electorally, through with electoral vote, for them to pull a... what they want to do is approach the electors, and then try to get them to become faithless, what they call faithless electors, which are electors that go against their mandate of voting because of the majority. See what I mean?
Right.
And so that's really what they're planning to do. What they wanted to do first was say, look, she's got a majority of vote nationwide, and then make that appeal to electors that we want you to change your vote because she got the majority of vote nationwide. See? But if that comes down to where she doesn't get the majority, then that's a shout. That's a hollow argument. See what I mean?
Well, there are definitely efforts underway to make that happen. The Huffington Post.
They're doing it already. They're out there, and these groups they're organizing together to do stuff like that, and they're trying to steal the election through the Electoral College. The angles that might appear there. See what I mean?
And yeah, but too far gone. She conceded.
Huh? Well,
she conceded.
But they go back to this that a concession speech is not your final. That's something to think about. Okay, is that
sounds like a rule, not a law.
Yeah, I know. But anyway, there are differences in people's opinions on whether a concession speech is a formal declaration of defeat or not. Because Al Gore made a concession speech and came back, of course, within hours, I think, or whatever, and filed lawsuits and things like that. But she's not doing that yet. But she's using this Alinsky model. See what I mean? Of people in the streets, on rallying and protesting.
I would love it. You know, I hope the NSA, I hope somebody is watching Craigslist, because we got pictures, you know, everybody knows about the buses. They're busing these people that are protesting around, the ones that showed up in Austin that started it, right? The pictures.
Right.
The first aerial shots I saw on the internet of the Austin protests, and then next thing you know, they're popping up everywhere. And then we come to find out there were buses nearby.
Right. These people were bumped in.
And the police, I read an article where the police out of Portland said that something like 70-80% of their of the people that were arrested had out-of-state IDs.
Really? Really?
Yeah, and if these people are working the Craigslist angle...
Right. Yeah, I see. They're synergistically working together through all this. Did you notice that in her concession speech, she said secret Facebook sites. Did you hear her say that? Okay.
Yeah.
And also, another interesting thing is that we have on our site, we have a a click off, which you can go to, and you can read her Wellesley Lee thesis up there when she was at Wellesley Lee College, okay? And
right.
And you can get a really good idea of where she's coming from, okay? And it's really interesting because I think she wrote this thesis as a partial fulfillment for her bachelor's degree, okay? And it's really interesting to read that because it's all it's about Alinsky. Now the title of her a thesis up there, which was written in 69, was "There Is Only the Fight," okay? And in this speech, this concession speech, she said we must continue fighting on, okay? You see what I'm saying? Yeah. So her whole approach is combative to politics. And this Wellesley Lee speech was submitted to the college on May the 2nd, 1969, okay? But anyway, we have a click-off on our site that will tell you on how to get that, okay, where to go to pick that up and read it, because we need to understand her profile and her personality and so forth as well as possible so that we can find out where she's really coming from. You know what I mean? And she's very combative type of person. She's in this paper, it was well written. She's well spoken, as you can tell on that concession speech. That was a really good speech. You know what I mean? And for her followers, I mean, but in there, you made a point earlier when we were talking offline that something about she's trying to get the new women feminists lined up to support the Democratic Party. See what I mean? And that's part.
Well, I thought it was odd that she singled out little girls.
Exactly. They're lining up to get women into the Democratic Party and take over. And then, you know,
George, can you imagine how it would be taken in popular culture, period?
Yeah.
If she happened to be a man and she spoke only to the little boys.
I see. Yes.
You
see.
You know what I'm saying? Or he spoke only to the little boys. A male speaking only to the little males. In his concession speech. It's exclusionary in the sense that, you know, she singled him out, you know, for her posterity's purposes. But
right.
I thought she defined her party as unruly.
She said that. That's right.
Yes, and she reiterated the buzzwords that were deeply divided. I don't think we're that deeply divided.
No, and then she also used fight several times. She used constitutional democracy, which would imply a tyranny of the majority versus a republic's form of government, right? See what I mean?
Right.
So her profile is not American. It's not. It does not support the American principles. It does not. See?
No, she's very, she's not in the American tradition, that's for sure.
She's alienated from our principles and our founding principles and ideas of government. She's not for us. She's not for America. She's not. And her speech there tells you a lot about her, see? It's insightful, right?
Oh, I thought so, yeah. And, you know, she chose the words freedom of worship.
Right.
Instead of freedom of religion or.
Right,
you know,
right. Things like that are very important telltale signs of what her thinking really is about, see? And so we learn a lot by things like that, by what people come up with, you know, what they think about, how they express themselves. There's a tremendous way that people express themselves in many ways. So if we listen to Hillary Clinton, we find out a lot about that. If we read that thesis that she wrote for a partial fulfillment of her bachelor's degree, then we learn even more about it because it's all about Alinsky. It's all about Sol Alinsky and, you know what I mean, rules for radicals. She's on that radical, revolutionary fighting side, obstinate fighting side. Is that what her worldview is about, really? That's
what
I say.
That all those people would pour into the streets.
Yes.
Over the election results.
They're fighters. They fight. They're fighting for her. See? See what I mean? That's her whole mentality.
But they're crying. I've watched a ton of videos.
Well, I can tell you why, Charlotte.
This young person saying, yeah. I want to kill myself. What media are these people being subjected to?
I can tell you why, Charlotte. I'll tell you why. We've had our society over several decades has been debased, okay? We've had so many troubles and problems with families breaking up and all this other stuff. All this affects us emotionally on an emotional basis. So we have an America with a mindset that is highly emotional, right? And a lot more of the liberals are more feelings based than some of the conservatives. So their feelings have been hurt. They are wounded because of this. And they feel it on a deep level, see? That's why they're out there crying, and that's why they're out there fighting like they are, except for the paid protesters, you know what I mean? I'm talking about well-intentioned people here. And we have well-intentioned people on the left and well-intentioned people on the right, but they've all been subjected to a lot of family breakup and abuse, see? And that translates out into a very sensitive, very emotionally disturbed people. That's what we have out here we're dealing with, see? And it's not just something you can put off on the press or the media and everything. They use this. The people at the top manipulate these people through because of their emotional distresses and their emotional problems. See, that's what's going on.
Well, George, anybody alive today that's in college, and their food comes to them, their education comes to them.
Right.
And, you know, they are one of the most privileged a group of people walking the planet.
Right.
They don't have to worry about where their next meal is coming from. They don't have to work for a living, some of them. And they get, and they're spoon-fed information out of a lecturing system that's highly adulterated and absent of any real republic understanding. You know what I'm saying?
But,
and civics, you know, we need civics back. We need all kinds of things. But.
Yeah. They're not teaching the Constitution at all, hardly. They're not teaching the natural law that ties us back to the right to keep and bear arms to defend ourselves. They're not teaching any of those things because the country is being molded to some kind of an international takeover by financial interest. That's the problem with this. And the guy out there that's rallying and fighting and protesting today, they don't get that. See what I mean? And so, but we've got to try to reach some of these people. And, but it's hard to do when they've had 30, 40 years of conditioning and programming, into them, you know, like secular humanism and all that other stuff. See? So it's not easy to deal with the people because they've been highly affected. Okay. And they're not easily able to come out of this system of delusion. It's delusion, just like I wrote in that book, see? Okay? And that's what we're all suffering from is a deluded view of reality. And so we're easily manipulated by some of the top people. They know neuro-linguistic programming. They use that on us. They prey upon our emotional state. And we're very compassionate about things. They're empathetic about other things. And they just use us from the left to the far right. All these people out here in America are being used. And I'm not just focusing in on the Democratic liberal group tonight with our broadcast, but everyone in America is subject to this brainwashed system, and that's what it is, really. It's mindwashed. But it's effective, and it's working, but to the detriment of the country as a whole. See? But, you know, not easy. What?
Well, the Republicans got the House, the Congress, and the presidency now.
Well, they
and
got the Senate, too. Barely.
It was a winner-take-all election.
Well, the Senate, they barely got an advantage on maybe 52-53 or something like that. And they did maintain, you know, in Congress, majority in Congress. So we're just going to have to see how that works out. But I am very apprehensive now that they've tried to get this negative thing on Trump now, and this Martha Raddatz gave on the election night, she put a real negative thing on Trump. So they're out to get him. You know, they're not stopping with their negative, trying to bring him down. And I just see that it's really If you project that out, it's not good for Trump or anyone else, for anybody. So I'm apprehensive about things going forward.
Well, I'm
on a
apprehensive
basis.
Because we're I still see the same faces on the television,
right,
and the same people in print, the same opinion makers are the neocons and the American Israeli dual citizen power holders.
Well, yeah, this
okay.
This,
they, with that, no, seriously, and they are in Trump's camp.
Well,
Trump has said and done things that have disturbed me on a deep level. He's up to his ass in neocon American-Israeli dual citizenship, the Judeo-Christian thing. It
well,
was up to
okay.
his eyeballs.
Okay, there's a guy, a Nuchin guy, okay? And he is a financial guy right now. He was back in May, and he's being considered for the U.S. Treasury. And Nuchin is a Skull and Bones member. And he's Jewish, and he's also come right out of Yale, you know what I mean? But he's got some bad baggage, you know? He's been involved in financial companies, one that I had experience with, one Bank West out in, on the West Coast. And, I'm very, very worried that people like that are gonna get into administration. Now, Chris Christie was knocked down from the transition ahead, just in the day. So we don't
so
have
happy
him.
To hear that.
Thank goodness. Maybe Trump is a little bit wiser than we're giving him credit for. He doesn't know these people like we do, okay? But anyway, maybe he's going to have a mix of people in there. But anyway, Chris Christie is not one of his insiders right now, thank goodness. And that changed just in the last day or so. But Chris Christie on that George Washington Bridge scandal was just... And then some of the people that were involved with him on that, husband and wife, committed suicide during this investigation. Yeah, uh-huh.
No, Say that again.
During the investigation of the George Washington Bridge scandal, some of his colleagues that were involved with him in government up there in New Jersey committed suicide, husband and wife. Don't like that at all. When you see that happening... and there's a scandal that's underway, an investigation. It's not good. And then a while back, I don't know if you remember, we interviewed a guy that wrote a book about Chris Christie from the Democratic side. And when he was Attorney General up there in that area, he went after Democratic people, and unrightfully so at times. You know what I mean? And so he got out of it. He was a mayor of one of the cities up there, the fellow I interviewed. So Chris Christie did a job on some of the Democrats up there, but he wasn't fair with it, you know, with them. So I was very, very worried that he would get a major position in Trump's government. So this Nuchin guy, though, is right in the middle of the Skull and Bones and all that. And so I don't want him in there at all, you know. But anyway, we're going to get a mix of this, you know what I mean? He's not going to have all people that we're going to be approving of, and he's going to have a few that we don't like, see. But if he can, right now, there's something that just came up, Charlotte, I wanted to mention on the air here before we signed off tonight, is 150 U.S. border agents are being sent to South Texas, and that came out early afternoon here on Saturday the 12th of November, and the federal officials... the Associated Press reporting out of Edinburgh, Texas, federal officials say 150 Border Patrol agents will be deployed to South Texas from Arizona, California, and elsewhere to help process a spike in immigrants who have been apprehended after illegally entering the United States. And it looks like there's a church center down there that's supporting them that in the last, since 2014, with more than 5,600 immigrants have been offered, so there are hundreds and thousands are streaming in right now in the Edinburgh area down there. And so it's something that we got. It was hard to decipher this writer's meaning here. I'll read the last paragraph and you can take it for what you think. Leaders in the city of McAllen said they are struggling to provide services and noted that October was the busiest month for a church support center since 2014. Okay, October, the month they had 5,600 immigrants they offered assistance to in October. Okay? This church group did. And it's the biggest 1 month that they had since 2014. So they're coming in there by the thousands right now. That's why they transferred 150 of these, you know, down there, you know. I mean, these Border Patrol. Now, the Border Patrol came out in favor of Trump, see. And so, in a big way, their association of agents, Border Patrol agents, supported Trump, see. So, anyway, that's something to take note of, that's for sure. And the another thing, I wanted to play us something that I found very, very interesting. And but it goes back about 4 years back to, we've covered the World Economic Forum. I don't know if some of our listening audience are aware of that, but we go back, what, about 7-8 years in covering the World Economic Forum. It's held in Davos, Switzerland, yearly. And towards the end of January, it's right in the ski season over there. It's colder than you know what. And we cover that, and I listen to it, and they play. They have a lot of audio and, well, videos going out there. So it's a pretty interesting, forum. But they have basically 2,500 of the largest corporations in the world meet there. And they are very powerful, and I just wanted to play an excerpt from a pronouncement, a speech, part of a small discussion with David Rubenstein. David Rubenstein founded the Carlyle Group, which is the Bush Investment Group, and they're debating on capitalism on this particular clip. And so I just wanted our listening audience to listen to that for just a second, okay?
David, did you want to cap things off? Then we are going to move to the floor.
My main point is, well, first, if the minimum wage were increasing, I'd say that'd be fine with me. I just don't think that'll solve all our economic problems. Our economic problems are very deep because of the debt and the deficit and other things. I think we've got about 3 to 4 years in the West to improve the economic model we have. And if we don't do that soon, I think that we've lost the game in competing against emerging market capitalism or state capitalism, because I think they're just having a more efficient model right now, which is going to take a lot of jobs away from the West. So I think we've got to work through these problems. If we don't do it in 3 or 4 years, when we have this kind of session 3 or 4 years from now, the game will be over for the type of capitalism that many of us have lived through and thought was the best type of capitalism.
Charlotte, did you get that state capitalism that he's talking about?
Not entirely. Why don't you go ahead and break it down?
Yeah, let me tell you what state capitalism is. State capitalism is what the Chinese have. Okay? Right now, I've done research in the last few days, and they're pushing the Chinese model onto the West. Okay? So what they're doing is they're setting us up to look at China and state capitalism and convert our open market capitalism. We have actually, we don't really have a free market capitalism. We have a crony capitalism system. But they're setting us up to go into a state capitalism model. And what they're going to do, just like you and I pointed out, the public-private partnerships, the corporations will be in partnership with the governments, and the governments will control all the capital. See what I mean? And thus, the corporations will have all the capital through that means. Okay? So that's basically what Rubenstein is saying, David Rubenstein. And he and his wife have she owns newspapers, most of them in Alaska. When Hillary went up there to campaign, she stayed with them up there, see? So they're playing both sides of the whole deal. And, of course, David Rubenstein and all them, I don't know about him, but he's a real insider. So the insiders on the Republican Party, within the Republican Party, were against Trump because they can't trust him. So he's not a real playing ball with them like they won't, see. So many people out here, and I got feedback from a lot of friends that some Democrats told me. They said, we voted for Trump because all the Republicans were against him, all this big money people, see. In fact, on our website, we state there that BlackRock, the largest investment asset management company in the world that manages $4.5 trillion, that's with a T, not billion, $1 trillion, was behind Hillary all the way. So she had the big money behind her, the Bilderberg Group, all the big insiders out of Europe and America were supporting her, and that's why they are devastated by this election. Trump is still a big money guy. He's not going to escape that big money system, but he's more independent than Hillary would have been, because she's bought and paid for by the big money already. That's basically what's going on that I see. So I agree.
Yeah.
That's what we're up against. So nothing is perfect. We're not going to get the perfect presidential president in there ever, probably. Trump is a fighter. We can make appeals to him. He has some goals that are very worthy, you know, to try to accomplish. See, you know, the immigration thing is just like these 150 agents. They're going down there right now. They're on the way to McAllen area and Edinburgh. And because it's getting 5,600 last year, a month at this, religious center, see? So thousands are beginning to come in before Trump takes office, see? That's, the word is out. That's what, why they're coming in on that level, see? And so there could be 10, 15, 20,000 a month come in to start coming in down there. And boy, that would be a big problem, see? My brother taught school down there for a number of years, so I had occasion to visit the Valley, and I'd done business in the Valley and consulting for some of my clients over the years, so on real estate. So I know the Valley to a certain, and we were down there 1 year. Do you remember, Charlotte? We went down there.
Oh yeah, it was beautiful.
Yeah, we got to visit with Eric Samuelson, had a nice visit, and sort of showed you around, and we were doing some consulting there for one of my other clients out of Austin here. So, but the Valley has its own distinctive, you know, what culture. It's not 100% Mexico, and it's not 100% Texas. It's sort of Tex-Mex and Tejano and its own culture down there, see? But it's big enough now to support the local population, see? Now, I've forgotten the population, but it's well over a million, all the towns together. You know what I mean? But they voted totally blue. They went blue for Hillary totally because they're all Democrats down there. See? So that's where we're at now. And gosh, you know, any other? We've got about we've got a few minutes here, 5 or 6 minutes here, Charlotte. Any thoughts that you've sort of come up with?
A lot of people online are using a lot of you know, they're just, I feel attacked as a Trump voter.
Right. Well,
I mean, there's howls coming out of people howling about the KKK. And I'm like, where? Oh, my God. You know, they don't like me either. You know, these people are howling. It's just, you know, may they all heal.
Yeah, they're suffering. And you got to realize they are emotionally hurt by this. This was they're wounded. You know what I mean? And they're to be approached in a very careful way, because they have been hurt, and that's where Hillary and all of that Democratic management, you know, all that they manipulate those people. I had occasion on the Texas Book Festival to go down there and listen to the author of The Making of Trump, and the author was David K. Johnston. And even Smith interviewed him up there on the dais, and I got to listen to his, you know, pronouncements from being interviewed by even Smith, who's head of Texas Tribune, with about 500 people. Okay, and it became a hate fiesta, if you know what I'm saying. Those people
really?
Were just laughing every time there was something negative about racism. He's a racist. He's a con man. They said. He's a bigot. Every time they said stuff like that, that crowd reacted very, very energetically and positive, and just cackled. It's like a bunch of cackling. You know what I mean?
Hyenas.
They just were fed exactly how they feed them this stuff. They keep us trapped in these hate and resentment filled shells. Of false selves. That's what they do. And they just feed us that, and then they manipulate us, they get our votes, they get our taxes, they get our allegiance, they get our support, and then they just throw us out because the inner cities are like hell holes, because it's an operation to get federal money into there and then pay off everybody. It's like a Tammany Hall operation out of New York. See what I mean? Graft. And then they distribute that graft, that federal monies, to the people, and they have positions and jobs, see? And then it just keeps going on and on. And that's where Trump stood up and said, hey, they're not helping the black people there. They're using them. And what benefits have they attained, see? That's where they got real, real mad at him, because he uncovered their scheme of how they've been manipulating those inner cities through Democrat. And the model on it was Chicago. The Daily, Richard Daley, old man Daley, established the ward system up there, see? And payoffs and creating, you know, a system, you know, of rule, say, through money-based systems. And then he had a son that took over after he passed away. But he was a Democrat, and it was all through graft, and they had contracts that were debated that were illegally, you know what I mean, that came to light. I mean, just total dishonest operations. But Chicago was a model for every other city in the country. The inner cities to operate on, and New York too, okay. But anyway, we got about 2 minutes left here, Charlotte. Any other thing? Any other comments here before we sign off?
Well, yeah, there's a lot of information going by. I tell you, I would caution the listening audience. I'd like to talk about the major media.
Okay,
and I would say they're behind. You know, we need to find new journalists. New journalism sources, and
right.
We need to start giving our money to people that provided us with good news and analysis, you know, by signing up for their subscriptions or doing what we can, because the television mainstream media is never going to change. You know,
right.
Just like they gave us false information on 9/11 and everything, you know, up to this point, you know, they try to shape our reality by the idiot box.
Exactly.
So I would just caution everybody to, you know, be the media again. Oh, and George, what about the IRS going after those, I saw a commercial and it's come out that the IRS went after conservative groups in 2012 and after?
Yeah, they did. They were Tea Party groups, that they were going out, were denying them any tax benefits or tax free, entities, what they were doing. That really came out. I mean, the Obama administration is just full of those kinds of problems. I mean, and if the poor Democrats out there can't see this, they need some help, or they need to drop out of that party. What they need to do, but because it's not helping them, it's just using them, and they're providing support for something that they shouldn't provide support for. And the Republicans are using their people too by continuing that, those established people like Paul Ryan. He stabbed Trump in the back all the time. He's Speaker of the House. See what I mean? So,
yeah.
So those insiders, they're not for Trump, and they're going to continue to raise hell with him and give him a hard time. So, I'm not optimistic about what's going to happen in the future. But anyway, we got about 20 seconds to go, but thanks, Charlotte, for all your views and opinions. I certainly highly value your opinions. And by the way, we did help establish that editorial page at Genesis Communication Network, didn't we? Huh? Remember that?
Yes, we did.
So we're journalists on that alternative side, right? Okay?
Oh, absolutely.
Okay. Thank you. Love you, babe. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.